How many of you in here would say that you have a hard time asking for help? Let me see, show of hands. Yeah, all across this room, most people are raising their hands. Some of you guys have a gift, and that is being able to identify a need in your life, identify somebody that can help meet the need, and then asking for help. But for most of us, we try to push through on our own, don't we? We try to figure things out on our own. Or like last night, when our smoke detector started chirping at 2:30 in the morning, and and I'm sound asleep. I'm sawing logs, so I can't hear anything. But thank you. Tiffany is agreeing with everything that I'm saying right now. Tiffany tried to put a pillow over her head so that she could just ignore the chirping until finally she realized she wasn't going to be able to go back to sleep, rolled over, woke me up, and asked for help. But it's so emblematic of how we live our lives, not just in situations like that, but also in bigger things as well. We don't often want to ask for help. And some of that is because there's this mix, there's this tension of there's something that I really want, there's somebody that I know that can meet the need, but if I come on too strong, if I act like I'm, you know, if I'm desperate or I can't, I'm begging them, they might say no, and I don't want to get rejected, so I'm going to turn away. Or for other people, you might think, if I don't step up, if I don't ask, then I might never know what's going to happen. And so we live in this tension, don't we, of should I ask, when should I ask, how passionately should I ask, what is that, what does that look like? The truth is that I've felt this way in prayer. Oftentimes, and I think that you guys have as well, I would imagine you have, there's times when you're not sure how to approach God. God, how do I ask you for something that I know that you want to give me, but God, how do I ask you for something? Do I come with a posture of begging? Do I come with a posture of boldness? How do I approach God? Do I come humbly, recognizing that He's in control of everything, or do I come with an expectation, right? Do I come expecting that if I'm just here and I'm trusting God, that God is going to act on my behalf? And I'm guessing that you guys have struggled with this too at times in your life, where you've thought to yourself, okay, there's something that I really want, something that I can only get from God, and yet I'm struggling to find the line there between being too persistent, being too bold, and being too, and kind of being, then coming across as being demanding or like a spoiled child that just wants to get my way. And so we all struggle with this, don't we? The truth is the scriptures show us that both postures are important. In fact, what we're going to talk about today is that the key to effective prayer isn't choosing between boldness or humility, but instead it's coming to God with a bold humility. And because of that, we're going to see how God wants us to come to Him in each and every situation that we find ourselves in. We've been talking for the last few weeks about the law of the harvest, and so we're going to put it up on the screen here really quick, but it's just four points, four things that we see throughout the Bible and really throughout nature as well, that when you plant a seed in the ground, you plant the seed. You know that eventually that seed is going to spring up into a harvest, but you know that it doesn't happen all at once. It takes time. And ultimately, when you plant the seed, that's really, other than, you know, a little bit of watering, a little bit of weeding, that's what you can do. All of the growth happens through God. So our four points are: every action that we take is a seed. Every seed is a harvest. Every seed is going to grow up into something bigger. The harvest takes time, and God is responsible for the growth. And we've been looking at how that affects our prayer life. First, we talked about getting into the Word of God, learning to read the Word of God, and how every time we read the Word of God, it's a seed that's planted in our life that will produce a harvest. But then the last few weeks, we've been really dialing in on this idea of prayer. And we've talked about Spirit-led prayer as being a conversation between you and God. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not just I'm coming to God and I'm asking or I'm begging begging God for something, but instead I'm conversing with him. There's a dialogue that's happening. I talk to him and he talks back to me. This is what we mean by spirit-led prayer. And when we do this, we're planting seeds in the ground. And then the harvest that we see from these seeds is grace, it's guidance, it's transformation, it's healing, it's hope, it's chains falling off of our lives, it's family members coming back to God. All of these things happen as a result of the prayers that we're planting. Last week, then, we talked about that it takes time to see the harvest, so don't give up, because know that the seeds that you're planting are going to produce a harvest, but sometimes God heals all at once, and sometimes you have to walk through the pain a little bit. That's what we talked about last week. So here, then, is our challenge in the waiting. How do we keep praying persistently while trusting God with the results? How do we find ourselves in a place where we're going to continue to come to God boldly and also in a position of trust, also in a position of faith, also trusting God to do what God is going to do? How do we avoid also the flip side of that is praying timid prayers, praying, you know, God, I pray that you would bless the whole world. And then, you know, anything can fit into that. So you're like, okay, I'm just going to pray timid prayers. I'm just going to pray that God would bless my food and not ever pray for anything deeper than that, because I don't want to come across as being either, you know, desperate or too bold or all of these things that we've been talking about. And it's easy to drift from one extreme to the other. So the first extreme, then, is we view God almost like a cosmic vending machine, right? We've got the cross on the side of the vending machine. It says Jesus Christ on the top. We go over there with our $1 prayer. We slide it into the bill slot. It pops back out because the bill is wrinkled, so you got to straighten it. And then you stick it back. Just kidding. Everything has, like, everything you can just use Apple Pay for now, right? So you don't even have to. Some of you guys are like, what are you talking about, putting a dollar bill in a vending machine? But for the rest of us in here, we have this picture in our minds of okay, I'm going to put my prayer into the vending machine. I'm going to push the right series of buttons, and my answer is going to come out. This is one extreme that we think about when we think about prayer. The other one, I'm going to call our marathon water station. And I've run a couple of half marathons. I've been by these, you know, something that looked like this numerous times. There's all of these cups of water laid out. You can see in the picture there, they've got two stacks, two layers of cups, and people are going through and they're filling them, and they are ready to give out exactly what this person needs to get through the next mile or the next couple miles of the marathon. And yet, one time I walked by a table and I'm running and I'm watching people, and I know that the next water station isn't for a couple more miles, and I'm watching people that they just keep going. And I'm like, you guys are crazy. What are you doing? Why are you will perform so much better if you stop and take a drink than you will if you just keep going. But, you know, they had their times to hit and all of this, and they didn't want to stop and get the water that was freely available to them. And too often we approach prayer like this as well, where it's like, I can just figure it out on my own. I don't really need God's help in this. I don't really need God to take care of me. So I'm just gonna sit back. I'm just going to continue living my life, and I'm never gonna go to God, even though I know that He's got abundance. He's got all of the water that we need. He's got the answer to everything that we're going through. And yet we choose to continue to run by the station instead of stopping and asking Him. But Jesus models something different for us. He shows us how to pray with both boldness and humility. Our big idea for today is, when we learn to approach God with boldness and humility, we receive His grace, we follow His guidance, and we are transformed by His power. One more time, when we learn to approach God with boldness and humility, we receive His grace, we follow His guidance, and we are transformed by His power. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 14. It says this. It says, Therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. So right here, the writer of Hebrews is drawing on Old Testament imagery. He's saying that there is a high priest. This would, you know, we kind of think of this like the Pope or somebody that is in a position of authority in the assemblies of God. We have our general superintendent, Doug Clay. So if you want to think about him, you can. But whoever it is, he says that in the earthly way of doing things, there was a high priest that was responsible for administering all of the needs of the people, for ministering to the people. And he had other priests that were under him that worked with him. And he says, therefore, since we have a high priest, so now he equates that function with who Jesus is. And he says, now we know that there's a high priest on earth, but also Jesus ascended into heaven. And now Jesus is performing that high priestly function up in heaven. He says, because we know that Jesus was here, he lived, he died, and then he rose again. And when he rose again, that he ascended into heaven. Because we know that he's up in heaven now, administering that role of the high priest, let us hold firm to the faith which we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. We'll come back to that in just a second. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He says, when you go to the high priest, some of you guys might think that when you come to a pastor or you come to somebody that is in a position of authority in the church and you go to them, you might be expecting to receive judgment. You might be expecting to receive condemnation. In fact, for some of you guys, this is what has kept you out of church, is you come to church and you're expecting to receive judgment. You're expecting people to look down on you. But he says that Jesus isn't like that. He says, in fact, when you come to him, when you go to him with boldness, you can expect to receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. He says because Jesus ascended, that we can hold firmly to the faith. I want to read verse 16 in the New King James Version because it says it a little differently, and I just like how it's phrased. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I like that phrase there, come boldly, because it's a little more forceful, right? It's a little bit more directive of how we should approach God's throne. He says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And the truth is, we can come boldly because he understands us. We can come boldly to the throne room of God because he understands us. This is what verse 15 meant. It meant that when it said he has been tempted in every way just like we are, it means that Jesus was here, right? We celebrate every Christmas Jesus being born. We know that he grew up. He lived 33 years on this planet. But right here in verse 15, it says that he walked through every temptation and yet was without sin. Sometimes when you come to somebody that's in a position of authority, whether it's a pastor or a priest or an elder, sometimes you might look at them and say, do you really understand what I'm going through? Can you really understand what it's like to be in my shoes? You know, there was a time back before I became a full-time pastor where I worked in a wrecking yard. And I've shared with you guys on different occasions some of the struggles that I had trying to live a faithful Christian life while working in a wrecking yard. But for those of you guys that have only known me for 3.5 years, you don't know me like that. You don't know who I was back then. You don't know how I lived my life when I was in college and when I was, you know, just starting to put the pieces of my faith together. And so you might see me or see somebody in this position, and you might think to yourself, well, they're just, you know, they've just always been good. They've never struggled in life. Everything's great for them. I can tell you, and everybody sitting on the front row can tell you that is absolutely not true. That we have our share of struggles, and we have our share of things that we're going through. But Jesus, the Bible says, we look at him, we hold him up as the epitome of perfection. We hold him up as the one who did no sin. But the Bible says that even in his sinlessness, he was tempted. Even in his sinlessness, he went through pain. We see in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus sweating drops of blood because he didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to do the thing that God was asking him to do. He struggled. He wrestled with it. And yet, he followed through with it. And in the same way, God understands our struggles. Because of that, we can come boldly because we know that he understands us. He understands what it's like to be desperate. He understands what it's like to be hungry. He understands what it's like to have unmet needs in your life. He understands you. So when you come to God, you can come to him with boldness. You can come to him understanding that he wants to meet your needs. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles now over to Luke chapter 18. And we're going to look at a story that Jesus told about a person who came to the temple to pray and how Jesus instructed his disciples because of that. In Hebrews, it also reminded us that this is a throne of grace. This is a place, this is a position that God is in now, that Jesus is in now, where we can receive the grace that we need. So we come recognizing that everything we receive is a gift. And what we see here is that boldness acknowledges God's power, acknowledges how God wants to meet our needs, also acknowledges that he's been through everything like we are. And so humility then, in this case, is boldness is acknowledging God's power. Humility then is acknowledging our need. It's coming to God and saying, God, I need you. It's not being afraid to come, but to come to him with boldness. This kind of bold humility is what we really need when we approach God. Luke 18 says this. And we see here Jesus is talking to some of the Pharisees, some of the priests, some of the people in the temple who, honestly, they might have forgotten what it means to struggle. They've been doing this for a while. For some of them, they were Levites. They grew up going to temple. They grew up in and around the temple. They might not understand what it means to struggle. And so Jesus teaches them through this story. And he says this. He says, first of all, it says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. Now that's an indictment of these people for sure. He's talking to these people. He says, Luke, as he's relating this story later, says these people didn't understand what it meant to struggle. They were confident of their own righteousness. To these people, Jesus told this parable. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even that guy right over there. God, thank you that I am not like that guy right over there. And you can almost imagine, I'm sure that he didn't point, but I'm sure he said that part a little bit louder. Because he wanted people to know that we're in the temple at the same time, but we are not the same. Right? And so he's distancing himself. The Bible says, Jesus said even that he stood alone. He said, God, thank you that I'm not like all of these other people, even this tax collector, because what do? I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I get. Man, God, you can't get any more holy than I am. So, and that's it. That's the end of his prayer. Actually, it's this weird prayer. He does say thank you to God, so that's good. He says thank you for something that's pretty messed up. Thank you, God, that you've made me better than this person over there. And then he's like, all right, I'm done. We're good. And he turns around and he walks off and he says, look at God, you see all the things that I do. You see how great I am. Thank you for making me great. And I guess that's the end of it. All right, see you later. But the tax collector, Jesus says, stood at a distance. He wouldn't even approach the altar area. He stood in the back. It says he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we see the distinction, we see the contrast between these two. And this is a story that Jesus is making up to prove a point, but we see the contrast between these two positions in these two postures. One says, God, I've got it all figured out. I don't really need your help. I mean, thank you for making me the way that I am. I already know the laws. I know that I'm supposed to fast. I know that I'm supposed to give. So God, I'm good. And the other person can barely even get the words out. And between sobs, he stands there. He won't even look up, Jesus says. He's beating his breast and he's saying, God, God, I'm sorry. God, I've messed up. I'm a sinner. God, have mercy on me. And Jesus then, as he's contrasting these two people, he looks at the crowd and he looks at the Pharisees who were convinced of their own righteousness, who had forgotten what it means to struggle. He looks at them and he says, I tell you that this man, this tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now the Pharisees prayed with boldness, but no humility. And because of that, they were chastised for how they lived their lives. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When Jesus was looking at this person, he says, this person here, this Pharisee here, will not be justified. The way that they acted, the way that they prayed, how they are living their life means that even though they're fasting, even though they're giving, even though they're serving in the temple, they will not be justified. Justified is a fancy word. The easy way to remember what it means is it means just as if I never sinned. Just as if I never sinned. So what it is Jesus is saying that one person is coming to God. He's saying, God, thank you for how great I am. And that person will not be able to enter into heaven. Now this person is a pastor. This person is a priest. This person is a Pharisee. He's a teacher of the law. He fasts. He prays. He gives. He's doing all of the things on the outside that would make you think that if anybody is going to get to heaven, it's this guy right here. Yeah, Jesus says no. Because of his posture, because of his position. This is so important for us that we learn to approach God with a bold humility. The other guy, he approaches God. He comes up to God. He says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says that when he sees that, now you got to understand, it took boldness for him to come into the temple. It took boldness for him to approach God in the first place. It took boldness for him to walk in there. You know that when he walked into the temple, all of the eyes turned to him. All of the Pharisees looked down on him. All of the people that were there to present their sacrifices were like, that guy ripped me off last week, and now he's in here and he wants mercy. You know that everybody was pointing at him, but he took the bold step to come to God. Say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So that's what we want to do today. When we approach God with confidence in his goodness and awareness of our dependence on him, he moves in powerful ways. First of all, by justifying us before God, but then so much more. As a way to illustrate this, I'm not quite the handyman that a lot of you guys think I am. I know that some of you guys have been with me through different building projects and things like that. I can run a screwdriver. I can manage a hammer. I can kind of run a table saw, but not super well. I'm bad at measuring things, so everything ends up just a little bit off of where I expected it to be, and then you work it out in the end, and I'm getting better, I'm improving, but for a long time I have not been a handyman. Now at the end of 2023, as a church, we went through a roofing and remodel project. A lot of you guys remember that. In fact, for those of you guys that have your booklets already, and you've been flipping through them while I've been talking, shame on you. But if you've been doing that, you might have seen reference to it, because the project actually ended in 2024. But back in 2023, we're working on this project, and we hit a point where it's like, okay, now the roof is done. We need to start working on the inside. And I was like, I don't know how to do this. So I actually went to the board at one board meeting, and I said, listen, guys, I don't know how to get this next step started. I need help. Actually, it was right before the board meeting, because I was going to them. I was going to say, if you guys want me to do this, we're going to have to wait until winter break, because I've got so much stuff going on that I can't do it. So anyway, that was my plan. Friday before the board meeting, Tiffany is at a doctor's appointment. She calls me up on the phone. She's like, Jeff, I need you to write down this number. I need you to call this guy right now. Because this guy is, just through a miraculous set of circumstances, he was supposed to be in a certain area doing some work. That project got canceled or it got postponed, and he had 2 weeks free where he could come. This is Doug Knox and Tiffany, Pastor Tiffany up here laying carpet. Doug came, he rescued us. I reached out for help, because again, I was like, I don't know. Not only do I not know, I don't have the time, I don't have the bandwidth to be able to get this project done. Doug, you know, you've got all of the tools, you've got all of the expertise. What we really needed, we had plenty of people in the church that could do the work and that could help on the project, but we need somebody to manage it. We needed somebody that could come in and take charge and say, okay, we're going to do this on this day, and this is the workflow, this is the steps that we need to do. Doug came in, he saved my bacon, and the lobby and the fellowship hall look the way they do because of Doug. And this last year, we got to step in and start supporting him, so now we're giving to him monthly. But man, we were so blessed when Doug and Bonnie came and helped us out. And that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Tiffany knowing my stressful schedule, saying, Jeff, you really need to call this guy right now. Because truthfully, I'm the type of person that just wants to figure it out. And I was going to go to the board and say, listen, I can get this. I just need a little more time. And that's how I was going to approach the board, was not I need one of you guys to step up. Not, I was going to go to the board and say, I can do this. I just need a little more time. Tiffany said, no, we're not doing it. Call this guy. Get him over here. We did, and the rest is history. And the truth is, he not only saved us in getting the project done expediently, he saved us time, because if I would have had to do it, it would have taken twice as long. It would have cost three times as much to do it. We would have had so many wasted scraps of carpet as we tried things and failed and tried again. It would have taken so much longer. It would have cost so much more time, but because of his expertise, because I went to somebody that knew what they were doing, we were able to do it on time and under budget. And so it was cool to see how God worked in that. What I learned through this is that I needed access to a higher level of skill than I was currently able to operate under. And it's the same with all of us. There's things in life that come up where we need access to a higher level of skill, a higher level of knowledge, a higher level of wisdom, a higher level of healing. We need access to these things, and God wants to give them to us. In the same way, just like with Doug, when we plant seeds of bold, humble prayers, what kind of harvest can we expect? Number one, we receive grace. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:16, we receive help in our time of need. So we acknowledge God, we ask boldly, and God supplies exactly what we need. This is that picture of that tax collector in the temple beating his breast, saying, God, have mercy on me. And when we come to him with bold humility, he rewards us with the grace that we need. Also, we are given guidance. We are shown the right way to go. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it like this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So we receive grace, we receive guidance, and the last one is we receive transformation. We are changed as we spend time with God. We've been talking a lot about Romans 12:2. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we've talked a lot about James chapter 1 as well, that when we come to God, we should approach him as one approaches a mirror. When we go to God, whether it's through reading the word or whether it's in prayer, we should approach God in the same way that we approach looking in a mirror, because we're looking for, do I have a blackhead? Does my hair look nice? Am I losing weight? All of these things. We're looking at ourselves and we're examining ourselves to say, am I doing right? And in the same way, God wants us to look into his love, look into his grace, and to receive the transformation that only he can bring. So our question today then is this. What are some things in your life that you need to start praying for boldly while still humbly surrendering to God's timing and his will? What are some things that you need to start praying for boldly while still surrendering it humbly to God's timing and his will? We don't go to God with demands, but we go to God in humility, but we go to God. And that's this bold humility that we're talking about, where we enter into his throne room. The writer of Hebrews said, we approach the throne of grace with boldness, believing that God wants to meet our needs because he's gone through everything, just like we did, and yet he was without sin. Imagine what would happen if our entire to our church, our community, if all of us committed to praying to God in this way. Imagine what God might do in you and through you if you went to him. You know, you're praying for a loved one who doesn't know Jesus, and you're asking God, how, you know, you're having this dialogue with God. God, I want to see this person come to know you. I want to see this person saved. And as you're praying, God says, well, I want you to talk to them. I want you to pray for them. I want you to trust me. I want you to, whatever it is, God is going to speak to you in that moment. He's going to give you something to say. He's going to tell you when to call. He's going to give you the words to say in that situation. Some of you in here, you're looking for healing. You've been diagnosed with something, or maybe you're watching online today because you're sick and you didn't want to get other people sick, and so you're looking for healing. You take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to him with that confident humility, that bold humility that says, God, I trust you, and I know that I'm coming to you because you are the source of everything that I need. You are the source. So our challenge then, pray boldly, Surrender humbly, and trust fully. Father God, we just thank you for this time that we've had, Lord, to just pray, God, to understand a little bit more about the position that we need to take. God, I pray that over these next couple minutes, Lord, you would drop something into our mind, God, something that we need to be praying for, a way that we need to be approaching you, God, how you want to work in our lives. Lord, I pray that, God, we would experience you, God, and see you in a new way. In Jesus' name. While you guys are just continuing to pray, if I could have the worship team go ahead and join me on stage. Some of you have been holding back in your prayers. You're afraid to ask God for big things because you're not sure if he'll answer. What we want to do in just a minute is we're going to open up the altars and we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward to take a step of boldness. Say, God, I'm going to begin to trust you in this area of my life. For others of you, you've been praying bold prayers, but you haven't seen God come through. And truthfully, you're praying, but you're not asking God and you're not expecting to hear from God. God, why are you not meeting the need? So you've been waiting for a while. You're continuing to pray bold prayers, but you feel like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back down because you're not having this dialogue with God. God wants to meet you today up here. And God wants to give you the answer. God wants to give you that peace to know that he is with you. What if today you were to decide to pray differently? To pray with this kind of bold humility that we've been talking about. What if you started to plant seeds of spirit-led prayers, asking God for big things and then trusting him with the results? And so for some of you in here today, this is a moment to go deeper in your prayer life, to stop praying small, safe prayers and to start praying bold prayers and to pray with bold faith. And if that's you in here today, if you're saying to yourself, okay, I know that there is a boldness. I know that there's something that I need to do. I need to stop praying small, safe prayers. I need to start praying with boldness. Would you just raise your hand with me? I feel this in my life. I know that this is me, that I come to God. I pray to God. But I need to go to him believing, trusting, knowing that he is going to come through for me. You can go ahead and put your hands down. For some of you guys in here today, it's time to take the boldest step of all. And that is, it's time to come to Jesus, to give your heart to him. You've been trying to do life on your own, just like I talked about at the beginning. But today, you realize that you need Jesus. You need his grace. You need his forgiveness. You need to come to him for leadership in your life. What we're going to do is in just a second, I'm going to have you raise your hand. I'm going to count to three and then I'll have you raise your hand all across this place. But what we're saying here right now is we're saying, God, I want to come to you. I want to surrender my life to you because I trust you, because I believe in you, because I need help to live this life. I've been trying to do it on my own and I can't do it anymore. If that's you in this place, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to have you raise your hand all across this place. If you're watching us online today, make sure to click the link in the chat so that we can follow up with you later, because we want to make sure that nobody walks this Christian life alone. But if that's you in this place, you want to give your heart to Jesus, when I count to three, go ahead and raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. All across this place, go ahead and raise your hand high. Three people over here, several more in the back. Come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? You want to give your heart to Jesus? Say, I've tried to do this on my own. God, I need your help. If you're in here today, go ahead and raise your hand high. You guys can go and put your hands down. Anybody else? Just going to take 10 more seconds. Just real quick. If you're watching online, make sure to click the link in the chat. Let's go ahead and pray together here at Generations Church. We say that nobody prays alone. We want to pray this prayer with you, and we want to walk with you through this Christian life as you are learning to be transformed by God in every area of your life. We want to walk with you, but it starts by we're all going to pray this prayer together. So everybody repeat after me. Say, Father God, I know that I'm a sinner. I've messed up. And God, I need your mercy. Just like that tax collector, I want to come boldly to your throne so I can get the grace that you've promised. Please forgive me. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give these guys a hand? Come on. Come on. Just like the baptism celebrated new life, we believe that every person that gives their heart to God is being transformed. The Bible says that we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And because of this newness, because of this creation, now we can go to God with a bold sort of faith, a faith that says, God, I'm trusting you. I'm believing you that you want to do some great things in my life. So we're going to have the worship team lead us in just a second. I'm going to ask you guys, especially those of you that raised your hand, but any of us can come. We can come to the front. We can begin to pray bold prayers that are believing God, that God wants to do great things. Some of you in here, you know somebody that's struggling, and you want to come and you want to just stand in the gap for them. You want to begin to believe for your friends. You want to begin to believe for your coworkers. You want to begin to believe for your family members. I want to invite you to come down to the front as well. So worship team, would you lead us? Why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet and make your way down to the front at this time.